Now let's go to the Andes.
The Andes are one of the most magnificent mountain ranges on Earth. They span from almost the Caribbean, Venezuela, all the way down to the tip of South America. They have peaks that are over 6,000 meters high. They have active volcanoes. They have huge mountain ranges filled with mineral deposits, and they have earthquakes, so they're an incredibly dynamic place to visit.
And Dr. Susan Beck has visited many times. She's at the University of Arizona with David Fisher, talking about the measurements they make of the movements of these gigantic structures.
Well, we do it in stages. We have projects where we might put out 50 or 100 seismic stations for a few years and then pull those up, and then we put out a few more in a different spot. But it's sort of a career-long fascination for me. I started in 1992 with my first trip down to South America, and believe me, I've still got another 20 years or more to go before I have it figured out.
The mountain range is still moving and forming. Is it actually rising?
Yes, it is still rising. It's still being compressed between two tectonic plates, and it's going up. In some places, it's gotten so high, it's almost starting to collapse down. But yeah, most places, it's still going up, so it's a very dynamic place.
These little seismic stations that you've dotted up and down the range, how do you collect the data?
Yeah, we have to go there and download. I wish we had the technology to do satellite transmission, but we just don't have the funding for that. But yeah, it's kind of low tech in a way. We go down there, we drive around, we find a place, we talk to people and get permission, we dig a hole and build a site, and it has a little computer, and we have to go every 4 to 6 months, dig it up and get the data.
You've put all this data together and been able to plot and monitor and draw maps and diagrams of what's happening beneath the surface. What are some of the major trends that you've noticed?
So we get all that data back, and what we see, of course, are two zones of earthquakes. We see earthquakes that are deep under the Andes, down at 50, 100, 200, 300 kilometers, and they're in the downgoing plate that's diving down underneath South America. And then we see earthquakes in the upper part of South America, down to about 30 kilometers or so, in what we call the crust. So those two zones of earthquakes are active all the time. And one of our last experiments in 2 years, we recorded 69,000 earthquakes.
69,000?
69,000 earthquakes.
Well, that's many per day.
That's right. That was in Chile and Argentina. Yeah, I didn't calculate how many per day. That's a good number. But you can see how active they are, and a good portion of these earthquakes really just go undetected. Okay, so I'd like to show you what we're trying to look at. You know, we have these high mountain ranges, and something has to support them. And what we found is that material that makes up the mountain range, they actually have roots. The crust, which is the upper part of the lithospheric plates, go down in some cases as much as 70 to 80 kilometers. We're sitting here in Arizona, and the crust beneath us is about 35 kilometers. So you can see that it's more than double. And big mountains, as you squish the material, it thickens, and it almost floats. So the higher the mountains go, the bigger the root has to be. But if you think about it for a while, pretty soon you're shoving rocks down, and they're going to start to melt and transform from the high pressures. It's a lot higher pressure at depth of 70 kilometers, and it causes them to be unstable, and pieces begin to pull off. And we think from our work that these pieces that pull off are kind of small, maybe 50 kilometers in diameter, maybe as much as 100, but probably not. And they don't do it all at once, but it's just sort of a continuous process. You build mountains up, you make a big root, pieces fall off. It's really driven by gravity.
You say they drop off. Where do they go?
Well, they go back into the earth and get recycled, basically. I know that sounds kind of strange, but when the roots become more dense from a mineral transition, then the gravity sort of allows them to fall into, we call it the Athenosphere, but it's this sort of more plasticky, molten part of the earth. It's not fluid, but it's much softer, and it's where there can be convection. So there are these convection cells there that grab these pieces and entrain them and recycle them back in.
And over what period of time might this be happening?
Well, we think this is happening over timescales of millions of years. So in the history of the Andes, there's been mountains there for at least 65 million years. So this has probably happened numerous times. And it doesn't happen the same time everywhere along the Andes. So we think as we can look at different places, whether it's Argentina or Bolivia or Peru, we'll see this process at different stages. Some places it's still hanging on, other places it's come off, and we think in some places we can almost catch it happening.
It's amazing that you've formed this view and this model of what's happening over just a couple of years.
Well, it's been a little more than that because we put our first seismic station in Bolivia in 1994. So we've been thinking about these processes since then, but it's really just the last 5 to 8 years where we feel like we've gotten enough evidence and we can really begin to formulate this kind of an idea. But it has taken a long time to get a lot of data to be able to look at how these mountains might form.
But, I mean, even that, even 10 or 20 years of data, to then extrapolate from that and say, well, this mountain range has formed roots and they've dropped off and formed down here. It's a big story that you've developed.
Yeah, that's true. It's a fascinating story, and we're going to keep collecting more data and trying to add to the picture, and we try to bring in other kinds of data.
There are rich mineral deposits around the Andes. Is that associated with some of these processes?
Yeah, mountain building is a great process because it has real applications, like mineral deposits. A lot of the really important copper deposits, gold and silver deposits that South America is famous for, all are part of this whole process of mountain building and subduction. In the case of the mineral deposits, it has a lot to do with fluids that migrate through the rock and deposit these minerals. Another part of the story is oil and gas. On the edges of the Andes, there are a lot of oil and gas fields. So resources are very important. You need mountain building to give us all the resources we need.
Although petrochemicals are formed under different processes, aren't they?
Absolutely, but they get trapped in the thrusting on the edges of mountain belts. The actual oil itself is formed from a different process, but if you didn't have the structures of the mountains, you would not be able to preserve them, and you need to bury that material to a certain depth to get it to form oil, and so you need that process to get it buried and bring it back up. And another thing that's so fascinating about the Andes is they've got big volcanoes in over the history have had big volcanic eruptions. And so some of our seismic stations are at the base of these volcanoes. And one of the other things we look for are the magma chambers beneath the volcanoes and to see that magma that's down there. And what depth is it? Is it deep? Can we see it moving up somehow? So you can find all kinds of interesting things in the Andes to look at. Mm-hmm. Whatever your favorite geologic process is, you can find it.
You certainly can. Susan Beck is a professor of geoscience at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and she was talking to David Fisher.